Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19. We'll be reading verses 13 and 14. I'll read verse 13 if you'll join with me on verse 14 of Psalms chapter 19. And if you found Psalm 19, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm chapter 19, beginning in verse number 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you again as we've bowed and given you thanks for what we've heard already this morning. I pray that we'd open our ears and our heart and our mind this morning to what you have for us. Lord, I pray you prepare our hearts with the special before the message. And we'll give you all the glory and praise in your name. Amen.
Song today and good music there. Thank you, folks. And I appreciate the message of that good song. Is this on? It doesn't sound like this is on. Am I on down here? All right. Is it on up here? Maybe it's not on up here today, Greg. Doesn't sound right now. You hear me okay out there? All right. Very good. I'm preaching on the heart this month. And of course, last Sunday morning, I preached on the worldwide woe of an evil heart. And then last Sunday night, the winking heart out of the book of Jeremiah. And they dissembled in their heart. They didn't mean what they said. Now I want to speak this morning from this good passage we read there with Brother Bragg. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so I'll speak on matchmaking that pleases God. Matchmaking that pleases God. As a pastor, you're kind of sometimes in a position where you could match make if you wanted to. I've never tried to do that one time and one time only, and I'm batting 1,000%, so why try to do worse than that, And I remember introducing Teresa Zickafoos to Mike Johnson. And I told him out there in Iowa, I don't want any credit. I don't want any blame. And then I walked away. And they've done it right, been together. And so I'm batting 1,000. I don't think I'll try to do that ever again in my life. But anyway, matchmaking that pleases God. Let's talk about it today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the blood of Christ. And we've kind of sung about that this morning. It's amazing sometimes how you put songs together, themes together. Help me now this morning, Lord, to have clarity of thought, please. I pray that you'll help us all. A lot of folks, of course, operating on an hour's less sleep unless they plan for it. And I pray that you'll help us to pay attention. And may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Help me, I pray, as the preacher this morning, to be under your control. And then help all of us to be under your control as the listeners, so that your Spirit may help us. I pray and ask it in Christ's name, and amen. Psalm 19 is one of the psalms that goes down in the category of classic. And I guess that's just my opinion. Maybe nobody else would say that. To be sure, we know that every word of God is pure, but I'm sure that all of us have passages, chapters that just kind of reach out and grab our hearts, hit us especially close, and this is one such chapter and passage for me in my life. I won't preach the entire chapter. In verses 1 through 6, David is expressing his awe of God's creation and how just looking at it, if you just look at it honestly, you know there is no shadow of a doubt that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. To deny that is to just be dishonest. It's to lie. You have to willfully reject the clarity that is in creation. Willfully reject it. And that's what the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 1. It talks about suppressing the truth. Willfully rejecting the truth. And so David talks about that for a while. In verses 7 through 11, David expresses his awe of the Word of God. If you ever heard Lester Roloff sing back when he was alive, or you go on online or tape or DVD, you had heard him sing, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are..." And that's verses 7 through 11 here. And David is standing in awe of God's Word, and why not? You're standing in awe of His creation, and it was His Word that brought everything into existence. It was His Word that brought something out of nothing. And as powerful as that Word is to create something out of nothing so that the heavens declare the glory of God, here it's very personal in verses 7 through 11. It's for my heart. It's for your heart. It's the effects that the Word of God has on us. If we let it, it'll have an effect on us. And I guess we're too loud and too traditional for some contemporary, but that's all right, you know. And too many amens and too many blood of Jesus. I suppose if we were singing Kumbaya, they wouldn't leave. But anyway, that's all right. So I see it come in, and I figure I don't know if they'll make it or not, and they didn't today. So I think, oh, don't you stop saying amen? Don't you stop being an independent Baptist church? That's what we are. That's what we are. That's the atmosphere of this church, all right? But they've been laughing and giggling at us, and I just let it go because they didn't want you to know. But now I've exposed it. But anyway, it's all right. So, you know, I see that sometimes. They did laughing and giggling at how we worship God. Well, I laugh and giggle at their guitars and their drums and all that stuff. Amen. So, but anyway, that's me there. Where was I before I was so rudely interrupted this morning? Yes, the personal benefit that the Word of God can have in my heart and your heart. Then down verses 12 through 14, because that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. David expresses his desire to be innocent and clean before the God of creation and the God of the Word. And he says in verse 12, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." And he talks about being kept from presumptuous sins. "Lord, let not them have dominion over me." And he finishes it by saying, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So he closes it out with this request that the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart would be acceptable, pleasing. Pleasing, that's what the word acceptable means. It means pleasing in God's sight. Now, it's interesting that David would desire for his words and his thoughts to be pleasing to God. You see that in verse 14? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation, that's the thoughts, the deep thoughts. Words are public. Thoughts are, and meditations are private. And David wanted them to match up. He wanted those to match up with each other. And he wanted both his words and his thoughts, both of them, to be pleasing to God, to be acceptable in God's sight. Have you ever listened to someone talk and realized very clearly that what was being said, I mean, it's just obvious, what was being said did not match up with what was being thought? You say, well, how, Brother Andrew, how can you tell that? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And many times, folks, it's not what is said as much as how it is said. And it's hard to cover the abundance of the heart. It's hard to mask the abundance of the heart. It's hard to shade over the abundance of the heart. That's what Jesus was saying here. There's the tone. There's the inflection. There's how you and I say things that makes it obvious that it doesn't match up with the words, just aren't matching up with our thoughts, our feelings. You say, Pastor, I'm not following you. I don't get this. Sure you do. Sure you do. A man comes in from work and he greets his wife with, hey, sweetheart, how are you doing? Fine. Now, the word is right, but the meditation? You ask me how I'm doing? I'll tell you how I'm doing. I got up this morning. You left 3 bags of trash in the kitchen that you could have taken to the garbage can, but no, I took it out because you have things to do. And you left your dirty underwear on the floor last night and your socks, and I had to pick up after you. And I've already changed it, you know, one baby's diaper and helped one child, you know, with the situation. And you asked me how I'm doing. But all, wait, the word was fine. Wife says to her husband, are you mad at me? And the husband says, no, of course not. Why would I be mad at you? Good words, right? Good sounding words. But the meditations are, yes, I'm mad at you. How could I not be mad at you? Now, you know what I mean. You've been there. We've all been there. Been in those situations. And so I'm talking here about words and thoughts, words and meditations that are matching up. And David said, he's praying, and he says, God, would you please let my words, let my meditations, my deep thoughts, would you please help them to be in harmony with each other so that they are acceptable, so that they are pleasing in your sight. Kind of say it like, you know, kind of say it, David's kind of saying, Lord, I don't want to say something and think something else. I don't want to say one thing with my mouth and be thinking something else and meditating on something else in my heart. When I say, God, I love you, I want there to be private meditation that backs up those words. When I say, God, I want to honor you today, I want those words sound right, but God, I want there to be private thoughts that back up the words, I want to honor you. God, when I say I want you to use me today to be a blessing, help there to be that same thought, that same meditation, that same desire in my heart. That's what David is praying here. He's praying, God, when you hear me talk, I want my words to match my thoughts. I want my thoughts to match my words so that both are pleasing to you. That's a good thing, but that's a tall order, isn't it? That's a tall order. That's what David is praying here. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, I want them to match up with each other. I want them to be equal with each other. You know, if you were to pray publicly for a service, maybe I would call on you and you said, Brother so-and-so, lead us in prayer this morning. And you would say, Lord, please give me something today from your word. Oh, Lord, we want to hear from you. I want to hear from you this morning. You know, maybe you've thought that already. This, I hope you have thought that. And if you and I would pray that, is there any thread of thought running through our hearts that would match those words? Is there any thread of meditation before Sunday? Maybe on Saturday, maybe on Saturday evening, maybe early Saturday morning when you first get up. Is there any thread of thinking in the meditation of our hearts that says, you know what, I'm going to be sitting in church in just a couple of hours. I'm going to be sitting in church tomorrow morning, and boy, I hope God gives me something. Boy, Lord, I hope you give me something. Man, I need something. I've been out in the world this week. I've been exposed to so much garbage from people talking and what they talk about and listening to this and that. And boy, my faith is just, I need some encouragement. I need to hear. Is there that thread of thinking that would match up with, Lord, speak to my heart today? But I wonder sometimes how God must feel. We rush in, you know, and we bow our heads to start the service at 11 o'clock. And we say with our words, Lord, it's good to be here. Speak to our hearts today. Was there anything for the last 6 days? The last 6 hours? In us, in our thoughts, in our meditations, that said the same thing to God, so that when we stood and said public words, Lord, speak to my heart, God said, you know, yeah, I read that in your thoughts a little while ago. Let the word, you with me this morning? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I'm asking, friend, is there a thread of thinking that backs up our words, not just to God, but to our spouses? David prayed, Lord, I really would like that. You're the God of creation. You're the God of this word. And God, please, I want my words, my public words and my private thoughts, my meditations, I want them to match up with each other and be very pleasing in your sight. Lord, I don't want to say things and have other things going on in my heart. I flew out to California, and on the way home, flying from San Jose back to Chicago, and you try to just drown out everybody around you when you got things to do. I was working on the plane going out, working on the plane coming back. Sat beside a man from Beijing, China, on the way out, and he spoke very broken English. And we were trying to talk, and I gave him a gospel tract, but his English, his parents, he got up Monday morning, last Monday morning, drove from Kalamazoo, Michigan to O'Hare, met his parents who flew in from Beijing. And then they flew to San Jose on the plane I was on. Then they were going to Los Angeles, and then they were going to Hawaii. I thought, boy, bless their hearts, man. From Beijing to Hawaii in one day. And so he was talking. We were trying to make conversation the best I could. And coming back, we had a seat. I had a seat open beside me, which was a blessing. But the people in the row, there was a guy in the row behind me who just had one of those drone voices. You know what I'm talking about? And those drone voices seemed to always project, you know. And it was obvious that he was very excited about what he was talking about. And the woman sitting in the middle seat next to him was very disinterested in what he was talking about, but she sure was being nice. She sure was being nice. Now, folks, that's a four-hour flight. And then she would... I mean, after a while, you know, she said, well, you want to just stick a sock in his mouth, fella, go to sleep. So now we land 4 hours. She is bolting out of her seat. I know what's in her mind. I'm getting away from this guy. He's still talking. Oh, great. Sure. She's getting her stuff out. Sure. Well, that's nice. You'll have fun. So, you know, she was saying all the right things, but interpreting her tone and the inflection of her voice, you know, he was droning and she was saying, but she was thinking, leave me alone. rah, 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 can you please be quiet? Rah, 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 drop dead. I mean, it's just, I never felt so sorry for a lady in all my life. Oh, good night. He wasn't sitting by me, and I was already tired of her. She had no interest whatsoever. Now listen, she had no interest whatsoever in his droning. She sure was working hard to fake it. She was working hard to fake it. What she was saying didn't match up with what she was thinking. And I'm not saying she was wrong. She was right. Okay? But now listen to this. In Matthew 15 and verse 8, Jesus quoting Isaiah, listen to what he said, because this slaps me. This sticks a knife in me. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Man. And that's what David is praying against. That's what David is praying against, Lord. I don't want to honor you with my lips and talk highly of you with my words, and yet my heart be far, far from you. God says, people, I hear what you're saying, but I know what you're thinking. Something's not lining up. Something's not matchmaking here. This is. Friend, listen to me. I'm glad you're here this morning. And you know, I am sure that God takes some measure of pleasure in your physical person being here this morning. But if you're here with a smile on your face and a ready handshake and, you know, saying with your actions and your words, I'm glad to be here, but in your heart, you're far from here. You might fool me. I might fool you. But none of us is going to fool God. When I said, I'm glad to be here this morning, there is no that I'm thrilled. I could not wait to get here. I'm home. I've been from West Coast to East Coast and back to the Midwest. And I saw nothing in any of those other places that I wanted. I'm thrilled to be home. We ought to honor God with our meditations, as well as with our words. When they match up, that's what pleases God. God, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. Your will be done in my life. But I just spent the whole last 6 full days and never once even thought about your will for my life. Does that make sense? You said, Brother Angel, you kind of make it sound like this Christianity is supposed to be a full-time thing. Exactly. We're not all called to full-time ministry, pastoring. But we're all called to be full-time Christians. And David is praying, God, I want my words to match up my thoughts. My thoughts to match up my words. God, I love you. I love the Lord. Do you? Well, I'll tell you what we could do. We could go to your Facebook page, because that's where you're going to express a lot of your thoughts. And your favorite music is, the music I like is on there, and the clothes I like is on there, and the food I like is on there, and the friends I like is on there, and the games I like is on there, and the TV shows I like is on there, and the movies I like is on there, and the snacks I like is on there, and the restaurants I like is on there, and Hollywood movie stars that I like is on there, but there's never a mention of a favorite Bible verse. Or a chapter in the Bible that means anything. Well, that's my Facebook page. Oh, like that's separate from your Christianity. Oh, you're down on Facebook again. Close, but not quite. Close, but not quite. I'm just saying, folks, look, it's easy to talk a lot. But God looks beyond our words, way deep down into here. God says, you know what pleases me? What comes out of here matches what's in here. when we can look up and say on a Sunday, boy, am I so thrilled to be in church. Not just for the opportunity to see somebody and enjoy some singing, but God, because it honors you. I am thrilled to honor you. And God looks down beyond the words into the heart and says, you know, I know that. I read that in your heart. I read that in your heart. And that pleases me. That pleases me. Sometimes there's a lack of an equal sign between our words and our thoughts. Our thoughts do not back up our words. And this is what David is praying. God, please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me say a couple of things this morning about this. If we want our words to match up with our thoughts and our thoughts to match up with our words, what to do? Well, number one, what we could do is we could let God work on our hearts. We could let God work on our hearts. Now, that's what David is praying about here. Let me ask you, folks, what's the most difficult thing to manage, your words or your heart? Your heart. And we could let God work on our hearts. Instead of saying, Lord, let me say the things that please you, we ought to say, work on my meditations, work on my thoughts. And friend, He knows our thoughts. He knows when they are true. He knows when they are equal with our words and when they are not. He knows that. And folks, this is an ongoing process. Nobody climbs the mountain, ascends the hill, and stays there with what I'm talking about this morning. This is an ongoing process throughout the rest of our Christian life. That my meditations and my words might always be equal, or they might be matched together. It's an ongoing process of things that you and I need to work on. You know, I think about Acts chapter 8, verse number 22, when Paul told Simon the sorcerer, pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He had all the right words, but the thought, the meditations, the intentions behind them, the motive were not good. I think about Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus healed the man sick of the palsy. Now listen to this. He said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And then verse 4 says, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves. Now what does that mean, folks? They said it, but they didn't say it audibly. They said it within themselves. This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why think ye evil in your hearts? So He knows. I believe, friend, that there is something to, you know, manning up and putting on a good face. And when you're hurt and when you're physically in trouble or your heart is broken or when you just are going through one of the weaknesses of our human nature, there's something to manning up, putting a smile on your face and being pleasing and saying the right things, even when you don't feel like it. There's something for that. But how much better when our words and our thoughts can match up with each other. When before I ever say to you, man, I'm excited to be at church today, I've already thought in my heart, God, I'm excited to go to church today. Our words and our thoughts. Where my words are, God, I love you. And God says, you know, I've already read that on your heart. Oh God, work on my heart. Work on my heart and mean it and be honest before God. And you walk around the church and you bump into a church member, you know, and it's, oh, hi, so good to see you, glad to see you. And you walk away and the whole while, you know, with those words, you're thinking, I can't stand them. Why did I even have to see them this morning? You understand, friend, that God sees all that? And God knows all that? And how much better, how much more powerful it would be if we had this clean, good, pure heart that matched up with our words and the things that came out of our mouth and the thoughts that were in our hearts, the meditations matched up with each other. You know, every once in a while it does us good just to get quiet before God and say, Lord, here is my heart. Please reach down and change it. You know the struggles I'm having. You know the doubts. You know the ugly attitude. God, you know it. You see it. You read my heart. No matter what my lips are saying, you read my heart. Please, clean me. Wash me. That's what David is doing. Verses 12 and 13 and 14 here. Oh, God of creation, God of the Bible, help my words, help my thoughts to be pleasing to you. Help them to match up together. Let's let God work on our hearts, friend. That's my prayer. You say, what are you going to preach on the heart some this month, the month of March? What brand new truth do you have? And folks, there is no new truth. And I've come to the pulpit and say, I have something new for you you've never heard before. You're in trouble. There's no secrets. There's no shortcuts. There's no rabbit foots for you and me to rub, poof, that make us good Christians. And Christianity is a matter of the heart. God, work on my heart. God, work on my heart. God, work on my meditations. I'm not talking about the physical organ that pumps the blood. I'm talking about the inner core of each one of us where we think and feel and make decisions. God, work on that. Clean me. Wash me. Help my words and my meditations to match up and both be acceptable in thy sight. Let God work on your heart. How about this one? Dedicate time for proper thinking. Dedicate some time for proper thinking. Do you ever plan what you think about? Or do you let everybody else do your thinking for you? You let NBC do your thinking for you? CBS? Even Fox? Don Oswardy sent me a book called If I Had a Son. I forget the author's name right now. It slips my mind. Please bear with me. It just slips my mind something. But it is, you remember the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing? In Sanford, Florida, and Obama went on the, you know, and he said, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. I'll challenge you to read that book. You will never, ever, ever, ever again believe any major news media outlet. Ever again. You'll never believe them. That whole thing was the concoction of lies. Manipulation. It should never have gone to trial, and it wouldn't have, except for the media. And that's who you're going to let do your get up in the morning, get in your car, your truck to drive off to work somewhere, fellas, and you're going to let Mike and Mike do your thinking for you. Why don't you dedicate some time to thinking in your heart about God? Get you a good Christian instrumental CD music. These prayer. I use these Mike Zachary prayer times CDs, and it's just Mike Zachary playing piano music, hymns, songs of the faith, and it's not flashy. It's just good, simple music. I put that in the background, and I'll tell you what, it sets the atmosphere for me to get my meditations on God. My meditation. I'm interested in world events. I'm interested in what's going on in America, but I can only have so much of that. Maybe you have a bigger tolerance for it than I do. Maybe it doesn't overwhelm you as quickly as it overwhelms me. But I promise you, those of you who've been here over the years, you probably could say, yeah, I remember this, but I believe with all my heart, in retrospect, looking back on sermons I preached, they were influenced and colored by news. I'm not talking about dealing with issues, national issues from the Word of God, but I can't take a bombardment of that stuff and keep my deep meditations on God. I can't do that. When is your time to think about God? So I don't have one. Then maybe that's why you're not thinking about God. Maybe God is worth you and I scheduling this drive This 15 minutes behind the sink in the kitchen washing the dishes. This 10 minutes folding the clothes. This drive to work. This washing the dishes after breakfast. This sitting with a cup of coffee quiet for a few minutes. This while I'm performing this menial task that really takes no thought, and I'm letting some sodomite, God-hater news anchor tell me how to think. Maybe God's worth, you know, me and you just turning it off and thinking about Him. When can you think about God? As you take a walk, as you fold the clothes, as you listen to godly edifying music, as you close out a busy day with a few minutes of solitude, when can you think about God? I know everybody has jobs, jobs to work, and housewives have kids at home, and it's nonstop. We got these boys. I picked them up Thursday after college and brought them home. And, you know, we're flying out at 11 o'clock Friday. And, you know, that's, you know how kids are. It's why you have kids when you're young. 5:40. I get up at 5:30. That's my quiet. That's my thinking about God time. My Bible. 5:40. Yeah, here they come. And when they're up, it's over. Forget it. It's off to the races, man. So, you know, but I'm talking about, when is your God thought time? Busy, 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 busy. You reckon you could carve out a segment of your drive to work, fellas? You say, when I hit this place, I'm going to turn the radio off. I'm going to quit thinking about this problem, this disaster, this project at work, or whatever it is. From this point on my drive to this point on my drive, it's God time. Where my deep thoughts are about Him. How good He's been to me. So that when I say, God, I appreciate the blessings, He goes, yeah, I know it. You were thinking about that just a little while ago. How about that one? Lord, I praise You for being so good to me. I know, I'm glad You said it publicly, son, but you know what? I read it in your heart about a half hour ago. Lord, I thank You for my wife. Yes, I know. I'm glad to hear You say it, son. But you know what? Back about half mile back the road back there, you were thinking that in your heart. Meditating on how good I was to give you a wife. You know what? It pleases me when your words and your thoughts match up. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, I want to so live so that when I say, I love You, Lord, God looks down from heaven and says, I know it, Charles. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, my words and my thoughts, oh God, let them match up and be pleasing to You. God, please don't find me in the number that honors You with their lips, but their heart is far from. Do you know that even in the matter of salvation, words must match up with thoughts? For Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart, for with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, there it is, confession is made into salvation. Did you hear the words in those two verses? Heart, mouth, heart, mouth. Hey, if you believe it down here, you believe that you're a sinner. You believe you can't get yourself to heaven. You believe that Jesus died, that He is the Son of the true God. And now you realize your sinful condition and you've come to that conclusion in your meditations. Now take it the next step and with your mouth, trust Him as your Savior. And you know what, friend? Somebody can just Well, yeah, oh, yeah, Lord, I want to be saved. Yeah, come into my heart because I don't want to go to hell. I want to be sure and go to heaven someday. So please, and no meditation, no thought, nothing behind that. God doesn't see that. But when the heart is there, the belief is right about my sin and God's sacrifice through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and my mouth says, God, I know I'm a sinner and I want to be saved by trusting in your Son Jesus and only Jesus. God sees the mouth matching up with the heart, and the heart mouthing, matching up with the mouth, heart, and heart matching up with each other. And you know what his promise is? When I find mouth and words matching up to get with each other, for whose mouth and heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your mouth and your heart match up, God promises you'll be saved. But they got to match up. They got to match up. Let the words of my mouth, I'm talking about this morning, the matchmaking that pleases God. Man, I believe in a praise the Lord. I believe in an amen. I believe in a hallelujah. I believe we ought to say it publicly. Our words ought to identify us as a Christian. But friend, if we're really going to please God, those meditations have to match those words. Those thoughts have to match those words. God looks down and He says, yes, I know it. Yes, I know it. God, work on my heart. God, work on my heart. And maybe dedicate some time this week to meditate about God. Meditate. Meditate about His creation. Meditate about His love. Meditate about His Word. Meditate about His blessings. Think on God. So that when we say, Lord, I sure am thankful for the blessings, He says, yes, I know it. I saw what you were thinking. Let's bow our heads together in prayer this morning. Thank you for listening, being faithful on this Sunday. The time change is always a thing, but I appreciate it. Heavenly Father, would you please work on our hearts this month? Give these services and these service times over to you to help us, Lord. So that we, when we say, I love you, there's something in our hearts to back it up. Help us, Lord, not to have words that are so pleasant and good, but Lord, our hearts are far from you. Please help us today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening and your attention today. Preaching on the heart this month, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, equal, together, pleasing to you. Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning about something specific. Pray for me. That Lord really did speak to my heart about this very matter. Would you slip your hand up, please, all over the room today? And yes, I see. God bless you. I appreciate your honesty. Amen, amen. Somebody else? God spoke to my heart today. Yes, somebody else wants to join in this prayer, and I close it here in a second. I need God to really help me in my heart. I really do. I want my heart to match my words. Pray for me. Anybody else before we have the prayer? Let me ask this question. How many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven because I've trusted in Christ as my Savior. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony to that, please? Thank you. I appreciate you doing that. Is there anybody here who did not lift your hand just now? You don't know that you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. You didn't raise your hand a moment ago. You say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand because I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Downstairs, the balcony, front to back, side to side, anywhere, anybody. Not sure that I'm saved. If you're saved and you need to be baptized to follow the Lord and believers' baptism, then you ought to come this morning and let us talk to you about it. Whatever the need is, okay, whatever the need is, do you need to be saved? Do you need to be baptized? More than that, I went along with it. Do you need God to work on your heart to match up the thoughts with the words? The meditations. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, speak to us, I pray. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You want to use the altar this morning. You ought to step out and come. The Spirit of God spoke to you. Don't be hesitant. Don't be hesitant today. Just come and kneel for a minute. Oh, how that our hearts need to be helped. Yes.